Good evening, and welcome to Cheater and the Rude on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Lee Papa, writer of the blog The Rude Pundit.
And it sounds like you had some chamomile tea before starting
off. Oh, really?
Today.
Really?
You're very like, good afternoon.
Oh, am I doing an NPR voice?
You were a little NPR.
Well,
there.
I think it's in tribute to one of our subjects for tonight.
It is. We will be getting to NPR. We have a lot to get to today. I'm Jeff Kreiser, the cheater, and this is the second episode of Cheater and the Rude on Progressive Radio Network.
You need to chug that Red Bull, man.
I will chug that Red Bull, but oh, someone's come in. Professor Papa? Professor Papa?
Yes?
It's your assistant, Maureen, and I have a note here. There were some calls while you were out. It's a while you were out note from the time that you were out paying attention to the Japanese devastation and everything happening over there.
Oh, really? And do I have any messages?
Yeah, there was a lot that happened while you were out. The CIA set the price on human life. It's $2.3 million for two Pakistanis. It's probably a little bit more for an American.
Yes, and I believe a couple of sheep.
Yes, there's also a couple of sheep and some other dowry-type items. So that was nice that they set the price, so that correlates to how much we spend over there.
Mm-hmm.
The state of Michigan turned from a lovely mitten to a big middle finger towards the working class. The government over there decided to change the shape to a middle finger.
You know, I really can't pay attention to any of this stuff.
Well, that's because you're busy. That's why I have these notes. You know, the little while you were out notes, and I checked off which ones you're supposed to call back and which ones just left a message. A few more items, and there's actually a voicemail at the end of this. Don't worry, I can't do too much more in this voice, so we'll get to it. The Republican National Committee decided to sell TV rights for their debates, thereby making it so the political process goes directly to the corporate media.
I hope that they all come out in like NASCAR outfits with patches on them.
They
for
will.
Our various advertisers.
I hope they hold the debates at the Voyeur Club. Where they were before getting not lap dances but trouser maintenance. Sharon Angle's going to run for the House. The Jersey Shore was a question on the SAT exam. Peter King is no longer with
us.
Wait.
Rewind.
The Jersey Shore was involved in a question on the SAT exam. America's future. Instead of raising our children up from the bottom, we're lowering our standards. The Jersey Shore, what is the impact of reality television, was a question on the SAT exam.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like who is the hideous...
And what does Snooki kiss like?
Yeah,
it was a two-part question.
Who is the hideous drunken troll on Jersey Shore? It wasn't like that.
Well, it wasn't directly, but if you didn't mention Snooki in iambic pentameter, you were automatically...
got points off.
Thank you for finishing my phrase. two last items. The New York Times started their paywall today. They put up the paywall much as Fortunato put up the wall in the cask of Amontillado.
You know, Maureen, you've taken my literature class, and
and I'm doing just as well as the students who didn't know the Jersey Shore was part of American culture. Finally, one person didn't want to leave a message, or didn't want to leave me, have me write a message, so they left you a voicemail. It was from a representative of the American nuclear power industry.
Oh, meltdown. It's one of those annoying buzzwords. We prefer to call it an unrequested fission surplus.
Oh, well, thank God we're finally talking about the only thing that's been on my mind all week. I think that Maureen, if you could ask Jeff to step back in.
I would love to.
Yes, and you can exhale that helium now, and that would be...
Thanks, Maureen. Thanks for coming in. Yes. I always like seeing Maureen. She is...
Maureen's really an attentive student. So we've been inundated, of course, with news from Japan, and we're not going to certainly pull a Gilbert Gottfried and
don't even finish the sentence. We're just not going to... We're more interested in the coverage, I think, of the Japanese crisis. Obviously, it's horrific, and our thoughts go out to everyone over there. But the way that it's been a political opportunity for many people has sort of disgusted us.
Yeah, I mean, we've had Rush Limbaugh jumping on the air and actually claiming that or mocking the people of Japan because they have such an environmentally conscious society. Like here's what Limbaugh said: the Japanese have done so much to save the planet. Let me see if I can get a Limbaugh voice here. The Japanese have done so much to save the planet. save the planet. They've given us the Prius. Even now, refugees are still recycling their garbage, and yet Gaia levels them, just wipes them out. She wipes out their nuclear plants, all kinds of radiation. What is Gaia trying to tell us here? What is the mother of environmentalism trying to say with this hit?
I am disturbed by the possibility of your Rush dating my Maureen.
Yes.
Somewhere down the line and creating a Glenn Beck-ish offspring.
Speaking of Glenn Beck, Beck also said something really charming about the tsunami, and I believe we have that clip.
Let's play it.
As there have been heroes in the midst of this enormous tragedy in Japan, there have also been some goats. Comedian Gilbert Gottfried has been fired as the voice of the Aflac.
Yep, that's... sorry, that was the wrong clip. We'll get to the right clip in a little bit. But Beck... But Beck, Beck said that. Now he doesn't want to say that it was God who actually caused the earthquake and tsunami. But Beck says that he saw the hand of God is in everything. The hand of God. I don't see how you can say that the hand of God did not have a role to play in this. And I guess it's just all those Buddhist Japanese getting God-smacked.
Well, I think Glenn probably has confused which God has all the multiple hands, because it's Ganesh that has all the hands. And he probably thinks multiple hands increases exponentially the amount of crisis that really happens. I'm surprised Glenn Beck didn't take some other sinister looks at it and figure it was a plot of the anti-Christian movement, right?
No, I think he did that.
But what was his take on it? This is my thing, what I was looking for.
There's nothing crazy that you can say that Glenn Beck didn't already say.
Right. In which you should point out may be a reason why we have to suspend our normal crazy off segment, because Glenn Beck will always win.
Oh, we could certainly toss Limbaugh and Beck if we wanted to do a crazy off. Katie, could we get a swoosh? If we wanted to have a crazy off, we could certainly do a Beck versus Limbaugh. But, you know, it just seems like it's redundant.
It does. Let's not even bother. I think we could try to imagine things crazier than what Beck would say. Like, my theory on the anti-Christian movement of the tsunami was that it was a move of people that were infiltrated fracking operations in order to create this tsunami, in order to cause a devastation so that there's no more of the Japanese fishing industry. And on the heels of the elimination of the fishing industry in the Gulf because of the BP, which of course was caused by leftist activists and George Soros, so that Christians, Catholics rather, wouldn't be able to eat fish on Fridays.
I wish you people in the
Lent.
Audience could actually see the chalkboard that he's working with right now.
It's very, very tiny. What I really was struck by was when Rush was immediately started predicting that those on the left, some people, will automatically take to using this as an opportunity to wish for greater harm. Some people would like this nothing better than to have this be a great disaster. Some people. It's a move that I think we've all noticed on the right side of the media, is this quoting of some people. It's essentially the right wanting an idea, but to give it legitimacy, they call it some people. Like, someone on the right will say, hey, you know, I think President Obama is not from America. And then someone else on the right, maybe the next show, will go, it's been reported that Obama is not from America. And then it'll be followed on the third show by someone going, some people think that President Obama is not from America. Thereby, it's legitimate because they've echoed it in their own little chamber. I would like to take an experiment. Lee.
Yes.
Did you know that I am incredibly sexy and very, very good in bed, and people often give me money?
No. Are you a prostitute?
Some people would say that I'm a prostitute.
Well, I would believe those people, especially if they're anonymous.
Yes. Well, there we've proved it, everyone. Not exactly where I wanted that to go. I wanted to end up with sex and money, but nonetheless, you can't control them. This is why the right is so powerful. They know how to control their beefs. We just get trampled by the beast of untruth.
Wow, did I just crap all over your bit?
Nah, it wasn't really a bit.
Okay.
We don't. By the way, listeners, we don't prepare material. We feel material. So, Rush was talking.
Yes, Rush.
And
Well, and Rush said, Rush talked about the media and just outright mocked the media, saying they want the nuclear meltdown. They want the Japanese syndrome, if you will. Because, see, you know, it's usually the China syndrome, because, like, the idea is that if nuclear power plant, if the core melts down, the idea is it could melt all the way through the, if it happened in the United States, melts all the way through and then, like, melt its way out in China. And that was something that's been around since the 70s, mm-hmm. since probably the movie The China Syndrome with Jack Lemmon and Jane Fonda.
The problem with the Japanese syndrome is that if it melted all the way through the earth, as we saw on the handy internet, it would go to the ocean just beyond Brazil, was it?
Argentina,
even better. So this doesn't even affect any of the pretty women. Now, what really struck me in the media's response was from CNBC commentator Larry Kudlow. Are you all familiar with Larry Kudlow? He often wears bow ties. He said we should be grateful that the human toll from Japan is worse than the economic toll. We should be grateful that the economic toll is not as bad as the human toll. Now, normally, I would react to that with some sort of aghast and agog, but let's not forget, I am the cheater. I am the man who is looking out for the little guy that only has billions of dollars, the little guy that's just the 1% controlling 90% of the wealth. So let's take the cheater's perspective on what Larry said. Let's understand that Larry has got the right idea. You know, rich people, the really powerful people, they don't worry about human tolls. They all live in mansions on top of hills that are never going to be touched by the waves or the poor people. And frankly, I don't think we're asking the right question. The question isn't what's worse. The question isn't what's worse, a quake human toll, the quake economic toll, or the quake causing some old greasy-haired man who's really trying to make up for some lost love in his life to sit between two beautiful women who have a lot of intelligence themselves but are afraid to contradict this man because it's still a misogynistic world where they only make 75% of what their male counterparts do, and this man will say these insane things because no one's ever checked him his entire life. No, that's not the important question. The important question is, how can we profit? How can we profit from a tragedy? Not what's worth economic or human tolls, but how can we profit? So I leave it to you, aspiring cheaters out there. Contact us. Go to GetRichCheating.com. Go to our Facebook page and tell us, how can we profit? Sure, we can invest in solar power. We can invest in wind power. We can invest in iodine. But how else can we profit? I leave it to you. That is a cheater's perspective on this week's news.
I have to say, I'm appalled. I'm appalled. I'm sitting here and thinking, how dare we actually try and go into a place where that has suffered some great tragedy and use it for some kind of capitalistic enterprise. I'm appalled.
Are you appalled that we ourselves didn't cause the tragedy in order to go into the area? I understand. Normally, a good businessman would cause a tragedy and then go into that, much like a drug company might create a drug that has side effects that they could then sell a drug to fix. It has side effects that they could then sell a drug to fix. You're right. It is appalling that we did not cause this tragedy to then profit
on. No. Wait. You're getting my head all mixed up here. You're saying now that
capitalism? Do you not like capitalism? Do you not like American democracy? Do you not like the profit motive that's guiding all things?
Wait, Jeff, you're getting me into a corner. You're cornering me on whether or not I'm really patriotic and whether or not I'm a communist.
If you donate to my PAC, I will let you out.
Of the corner?
Yes, I will let you out of the. It's the Out of the Corner pack, sponsored by the Better Business, the businessy thing, and
the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, the Chamber of Commerce, and also the Better Business Bureau, because I recently saw they do a good job of the members that pay dues to the Better Business Bureau. For some reason their complaints don't always show up.
Really?
Yeah.
Really. But I just want to get back to this whole idea that the earthquake then becomes an opportunity. Are you saying that business people are so crass, that business people are so low, that capitalists are so craven in the search for the dollar, in the engorgement on the material and the finances of others, that they would go into a place that has just suffered this massive tragedy and would dare to come up with a way to profit from it?
Well, I don't like your choice of adjectives, but yes. I think it's a beautiful thing. That is, it's the circle of wealth. From one dead pony comes a glue salesman. And that is what cheaters do. That is what those that are driven by the great profit motive that has been handed down to us from on high, from the great heavens, the idea that we must from all things find a way to make money, to make business move forward. Because what drives the future? Business, not people. People die. Businesses live forever.
My God. How do we go on? How do we go on? Do we just simply give ourselves over to this god of business that you're creating? Do we simply allow the tsunami to crash over us and hope for the sweet bliss of death that it brings?
You ask a question as if you have a choice in the matter. You don't just let it happen. Just lay back. It's like, you know, just lay, play dead, and maybe the mama grizzly won't tear you limb from limb.
So what can I do as the average person? Is there anything I can do? Say I've lost my job. Say I've donated my $20 through my cell phone to the Japanese Red Cross, which you can do. Say, and, you know, then I'll put it on my credit card and then accrue interest on it because I certainly can't afford to pay for my mobile phone bill.
You can make sure to support candidates in the political process that are for stripping government power, because as we've seen with this tragedy in Japan, there's no role for government. In America, if there were to be a terrible, devastating accident like this to strike, earthquake, a meltdown, we don't want our government there to respond. We want our government underpaid. We want them to have to work extra jobs because we've taken away their benefits. We want them stripped to the core and unable to respond. That is what we've learned from Japan. We've learned that we want that to happen here. Well, yeah, we want that to happen here. Because then if it happens here, the market will fill in the gaps where the government is unable to support us. And isn't that what the market always provides? Haven't we seen the market always provides for those that run the market?
I think you're right. But if I, as average citizen, Lee, if I contribute to your PAC, if I use my hard-earned unemployment check to contribute to your PAC, in the hopes that you will represent me,
mm-hmm.
Can I then taste some of that glory of the corporate titans?
Well, what we will be doing is we'll be putting our hearings, our director's meetings, we're going to be putting them on pay-per-view. So if you get a cable package, you can pay to watch selected portions of the board of directors meetings of all of the companies that control your life, which will soon but just be one.
I understand. I understand that I have no other role to play now except to consume and to give over whatever meager little bits of power I have to you. And therefore, I can simply glide along paying the interest on my credit cards,
mm-hmm.
maybe on my house until you take it away.
Well, the future is ours. And by ours, I mean all of us that are friends of mine. So, you know, embrace that.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What were we talking about?
I don't know, but that was this is our second episode of Cheater on the Ruin. That was a fun little thing. Maybe we'll do that again.
Yes,
with
yes.
a little tightness to it.
Yes, yes, I think so.
There are a few other things we want to talk about. Holy cow, look at the time crawl. We touched on what would happen if an accident like that happened here. And besides the fact that we've gutted our government so we'd be in trouble, the one thing that really amazed me is all these stories about 60, 70-year-old Asian people surviving. Like, their stories. Like, I can't picture...
Oh, one of the things that that Rush and Rush Limbaugh and others have mocked are that in the survivors' camps... They've set it up so that there's recycling, and like, how dare they think about something like that? How dare they be environmentally conscious when there's just heaps of waste around them that used to be their homes?
Why don't they recognize that Al Gore and the unions caused this disaster?
Yes,
and just move
yes.
on.
And so, but I, you know, so I was thinking, what would Americans do if this happened here? I mean, we saw Katrina, we saw the American reaction to Katrina, we saw the abandonment of Americans in Katrina. But if something even more massive happened, taking out, say, from San Francisco up, San Francisco
to Portland?
To Portland, yes.
Would we go beyond? Let's go up to Seattle.
You want to go all the way to Seattle?
Yeah,
okay.
The southern part of Washington State kind of bugs me. Okay, so what would happen if all that? Well, first, Falwell would blame the repeal of the Defense of Marriage Act.
Right. What would you do? What would you do if you were there? Would you?
If I was there?
Yeah.
Well, it's actually an interesting question because, in all seriousness, my parents were planning on taking my niece, that's their grandchild, to Japan next week as a present, as a trip.
They were going to Sendai.
Well, they were going to all over, but part of it was to Sendai. And it struck me, they obviously have decided not to go, in part, obviously, there's a little radiation issue. But it struck me that going there, it could be a beautiful opportunity to, like, grow as a person, to help out. I mean, it's not exactly what, you know, a 10-year-old girl wants to do, but then again, you know, our education system isn't exactly teaching people how to be wonderful humans, so maybe some real life, this is the real world, help out could be educational.
You know what I would do?
No.
I would ransack my neighbors' houses, take all of their food. I'd kill their children if they got in the way, and then I'd probably preserve their corpses in salt so that I could eat them later as jerky and survive as if this had become like Cormac McCarthy's The Road.
Where would you get the salt?
Oh, the salt? I would take it from everybody's houses. You know what the great thing is about that area? They all have kosher salt or sea salt. There's just tons of that there. Mm. I could flavor them. I would come up with such great recipes for human flesh that that should the nation ever be unfucked after it, I would then be like some kind of emerald.
Like the cake boss.
Yes, I would be the emerald or the cake boss. They would have cooking shows about me because I would show people how to survive after such an enormous catastrophe. I would not only try to leave a larger carbon footprint by tossing my trash into the ruins of San Francisco, I would actually try to leave a carbon snow angel and burn my plastic and just figure, you know what, my city's gone, I may as well try to screw it up for everybody else.
It's ironic that is actually Governor Walker's inauguration speech that he gave.
You know
Wisconsin.
What? Why not quote the best?
Exactly. Listen, we are approaching that point of the show. Obviously, my clock is fast. Is that right? 20 after? Is that where we got here?
It is.
All right, thank you very much. By the way, Katie, we like to let our listeners hear your voice. You want to chime in and say hi?
Hello, what's up, everyone?
That's Katie, and it should be pointed out that Katie, our lovely technician, producer, wonderful person, all slash in the middle, is a fan of the Jersey Shore. Is that right, Katie?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite shows, and it's not even a guilty pleasure. I'm proud of my addiction.
It's not a guilty pleasure?
No.
You mean you like it in a, like most people like how?
You do understand she's drunk, that it's St. Patrick's Day, and she's drunk.
I should be, because my last name is Fitzgerald, but unfortunately...
That's great. And to all of our Irish listeners, we know that it's just a stereotype and you don't actually drink.
Right.
Yeah, I've never had a beer in my life. Duh.
Yeah, she likes the Jersey Shore. The point is, she was even she was upset about the Jersey Shore question being on the SAT exam. She's the one that brought it to my attention.
Speaking of the SATs,
yes.
I believe that we have something from something that ties this together. I think we have a little sound clip from a UCLA sociologist commenting on Asians in American culture. Yes. Katie, can we hear that?
Left-wing academics, stand up.
Okay, so here at UCLA, it's finals week. So we know that I'm not the most politically correct person, so don't take this offensively. I don't mean it towards any of my friends. I mean it towards random people that I don't even know in the library.
That's all. You know what?
So
you know that when you say it's
you
not
guys
gonna
are not
be offensive,
the problem.
Don't be offended.
The problem is
yes.
These hordes of Asian people that UCLA accepts into our school every single year, which is fine, but if you're going to come to UCLA, then use American manners.
Okay, we need to stop it.
It used to really bug me, but it doesn't
bother
me.
Yeah, listen, you know,
anymore.
The problem is these hordes of entitled blonde women who come to our colleges and speak for other people and make videos that they put on the internet.
Yes, we should probably say that this is a real video from a student at UCLA that she posted with pretty poor timing.
The video is on Cheater in the Rude Facebook page.
Yes, yes. So if you become a Cheater in the Rude fan, and after tonight, why wouldn't you?
I don't have any. We've actually, it looks like we're down to no fans. She went on to talk about, like,
we can continue. We can continue. I want to hear more. I want to hear it. Katie, continue.
No, she's taking a second. Katie, by the way, is not blonde. Not that it's about being blonde, but this UCLA student happens to be... It's like she decided, I need to be a stereotype.
I thought at first she was talking about Asian whores, but apparently not.
No, she was talking, then she says that they're in the library making noise when she's on the phone, when she's...
Go.
Play. No. Yeah, we can play. That used to really bug me.
But it doesn't bother me anymore, the fact that all the Asian people that live in all the apartments around me, their moms and their brothers and their sisters and their grandmas and their grandpas and their cousins and everybody that they know that they brought along from Asia with them comes here on the weekends to do their laundry, buy their groceries, and cook their food for the week.
Family values.
It's seriously without fail. You will always see old Asian people running around this apartment complex every weekend. That's what they do. They don't teach their kids to fend for themselves.
Teaching the children. This is what happens when you underfund education, America.
Which brings me to my next point.
Here we go.
No, this is important.
Hi. In America, we do not talk on our cell phones in the library.
I've never seen an American do that. I think she's right.
Every 5 minutes, I will be... Okay, not 5 minutes. Say, like...
Hold on, everybody. It gets really good.
I'll be deep into my studying, into my political science theories and arguments and all that stuff, getting it all down, like typing away furiously, blah, blah, blah.
She's typing, by the way.
And then all of a sudden, when I'm about to like reach an epiphany,
mm-hmm.
And we know what happens when she reaches
epiphany. Over here from somewhere, oh, Jing Chong Ling Long Ting Tong. Oh.
Pause.
Are you freaking kidding me? In the middle of finals.
Can we pause?
She love you long time.
You know what bothers me when I'm in the library and I'm writing my short stories about imaginary land where Epiphany rides up to me on a unicorn. I hate it when over there somewhere a blonde girl goes, "Oh no, I don't like going out with a funny smart guy. I want to date the quarterback." That's what hates me, or that's what
Jeff.
I'm
Jeff,
getting upset.
Jeff,
I, a lot Jeff, of my Jeff. Life is about making up for junior high.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But Jeff, would you have mocked Asian people like that in college?
No.
You know what gets me is we haven't gotten beyond in our prejudice against Asians. We haven't gotten beyond Ching Chong Ching.
Yeah. But Rush Limbaugh did it.
Rush Limbaugh did it just back in January when Hu Jintao was visiting the United States and said he couldn't understand him. He was Ching Chong Chinaman.
Limbaugh said. It's the death of comedy.
But I just don't understand why. In the world, that comedy against Asians, that prejudice against Asians, has not evolved.
I don't know, but I want to say a couple things we didn't get to. We were going to talk about other reasons why we're staying in Afghanistan.
I believe we'll still be in Afghanistan next week.
By next week, we can cover that. We were going to talk about the NPR sting fake operation. I wanted to beat my dead horse. I didn't get a chance to beat my dead horse.
You didn't get a chance to beat your dead horse.
The Raj Raja Ratan and Galleon trial.
Nope, you didn't get to do that.
We didn't do a crazy off, which we were going to do Mother Earth versus humans.
But
we didn't get to it?
No, yeah.
Well, we can say we were.
Yes, you're right. But I think we really need to end on one of the more important issues of the day. I actually would think that we need to think about the
less preface, more get to it.
Yes, I think you're right. Who would you rather be done by?
Ooh, last week do, this time be done by.
Like, say you're strapped to a bed and you were going to be done by one of these.
Okay, give me a choice.
All right, we're going to go parent child.
Got it.
All right.
Parent child.
Sarah or Bristol Palin?
Done by. Sarah, how about you?
I'm going to go Bristol.
All right. Let me give one to you.
Yes.
Megan or Cindy McCain?
Oh, wow. That's tough. I'm going to go Cindy McCain.
Yeah, you think she's got some moves up in the...
I think that, yeah, she's got that experience.
I'm going to go Megan. I think she wants to rebel.
All right, I got one more for you.
Last one.
Ron or Rand Paul?
Oh, Rand.
Rand?
Yeah.
I think I'd, again, for the same reason as Cindy, I think I'd go Ron.
I don't know. I think Rand hasn't yet figured out that it's all BS.
I think Rand would just go crazy. I think Rand would end up hurting me badly.
Let's should we pimp a couple things of ours before we get out of here?
Let's pimp before.
Of course, you know about the books. Both of us get rich cheating at...
And the Rude Pundit's Almanac, available at orbooks.com.
And also, some live performances for me coming up. If you are in Nevada, I will be in Reno, talking about Sharon Engel and everybody else, next week. University of Reno on Wednesday the 23rd, and then at the Tahoe Comedy North in the Pioneer Room on the weekend. And maybe, are we going to do a comedy tour eventually?
I think we will.
If we get enough fans, we'll do some tours. You got anything else, Lee?
I got nothing else. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week at 8 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network. This is Cheater and the Rude.